Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Rock and roll! Getting the let out, taking us into the final hour on a Friday. Yeah, the weekend is officially here. Skidabop-bing! Oval of a nice Ivy League suit. I was pondering on the way home last night, and we decided, no, we didn't have 3.5 hours in us. Maybe, I gotta see this Irishman. Everybody keeps telling me, see the Irishman. It's really good. But man, it's an investment. One of you texted me yesterday and was like, you watched it in 3 installments. It's like, what is it, the movie layaway plan? That was really an interesting concept. Welcome to Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. Great chat with our pal Terry Johns, who's down in Long Beach, prepping the call tomorrow's Oregon women's basketball game. And, you know, still with the one loss, ranked 3rd in the country, off the bounce-back win where they really dismantled a very good South Dakota State team here in town last Sunday. Tomorrow's game will be against Long Beach State. No TV listed, so it's going to be on the Oregon Sports Network. We'll have the call with Terry right behind me in KGN News Talk 590. The men, however, are going to be a national game at 9 o'clock against Michigan at the Chrysler Center on CBS. I mean, obviously, we'll have the call with Joey Mack here, and that's a big deal. I mean, you know, the games in the Bahamas, ESPN2, ESPN, ESPN, you know, the Memphis game, ESPN, obviously all the games are on, but man, a lot of national attention for this program, and obviously for the most part they've capitalized as they're a top 10 team with that great rally, took apart Hawaii last Saturday, and you know, then you get to the holiday part of the schedule, where Wednesday they'll play Montana in Eugene. I mean, they're back home until Pac-12 season starts. Think about that. Texas Southern on the 21st, and two weeks from Sunday, Alabama State. And then, man, Thursday, January 2nd, in Boulder, they start Pac-12 play. And I guess defense of their Pac-12 tournament title. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to get a quick one in before we get to our guest talking football and Pac-12. But right now to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Steven. Steven, good evening. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Dan, and to all of you guys in Oregon. I'm still in... Arizona, keen man, like Quinta for a fourth night. Well, because my dad has problems with his truck. The reason I'm calling you is, do you think the Oregon Ducks men's basketball team can win a national title in 2020?
All right, that's an interesting question. A lot has to fall into place. Health will come into play. And I think the addition of the big fella from Sunrise Christian Academy, Nefali Dante, you know, he's probably not going to play tomorrow, but one of the, I guess, areas where they could use a jolt is rim protection. We talked with our buddy Steve Mims of the Register Guard yesterday, and they've got a lot of good parts. What was the final word on how long Shakur Justin is going to be out, because he's injured and will not play? And, you know, the transfer, who, by the way, from Newark, New Jersey, was really a big contributor, good rebounder. You know, you've seen some of the new faces in Chris Duarte and, you know, Chandler Lawson, a true freshman, as is C.J. Walker. Addison Patterson, Anthony Mathis, who was a teammate of Peyton Pritchard. They've got a lot of parts. And, of course, just as key as anything, what we've learned during his tenure here as the head coach with Dana Altman. You know, one thing, on December 13th, they're a darn good team. If healthy, they'll be a better team on January 13th, and they'll be a better team than that on February 13th. So winning a national championship, man, not going to hang out on a limb and say I think they're going to. You know, you saw what it took. Kind of a perfect storm of magnificence and good bounces and great play to get to a Final Four. But there's no reason not to think that this isn't going to be one of those great years where a terrific football season rolls into double-barreled great basketball seasons from both the men and women. So here's hoping Steve and his dad get the truck fixed so they can make it from Arizona to FLA. Some of you have been providing. We threw a question out earlier. So I was watching Lamar Jackson and the Ravens dismantle the Jets last night. And I just started thinking, if you had the time, if you had the financial wherewithal, and you had the desire, and who would be maybe the top three athletes you would pay to see right now, active? So we're not going to go back and watch Ali. We're not going to go back and watch Secretariat running the Belmont. It's going to have to be now. Got some. We've got Ronaldo. We've got Messi from the beautiful game have been mentioned. Juan Soto from baseball. Some of you texted Alexander Ovechkin. One of you said you liked the guy who called in and said Connor McDavid, which was actually a good one. Serena Williams, Tyson Fury, Jimmy Garoppolo. Some of you have chimed in on Twitter as well. Nick and I were talking about if it was a baseball player, would it be Trout? It feels like either a great pitcher, a great outfielder, or a shortstop, because you'd want to see them kind of operate and do their thing. You know, a great hitter is one thing, but seeing an outfielder, you know, Mookie Betts is fun out there to watch run around. Obviously, Trout, high on the list. Soto is a kind of an electrifying player for sure. So that would be high on my list. The Greek Freak has gotten a lot of love.
Obviously, Joey Gallo, my number one favorite. Number one favorite non-Giants baseball player. I would like to see him in person try and hit a baseball to the moon.
Just, well, you know, he's not trying to go oppo to move a runner over.
Well, the moon could technically be, you know, it could be poolside. Who knows?
All right. cracks me up. By the way, you can kill me with that one. Totally lost my mind. All right. So, as always, feel free to text us, 321-0824 on Twitter. It's at 953 the score for the station. For yours truly, at SportsTalk 953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. But right now, what do you say we get to our special guest, and to the phones we go. Folks, time to talk some Pac-12. Regular season is a wrap. Results are in. And who better than one of the top analysts in the game, repping the Pac-12 network, and always Factoryville, PA, bringing in Yogi Roth. Yogi, always great catching up. How's life treating you these days?
Life is good, bro. Life is busy. You know, you kind of transition from the title game immediately to signing day. Like, just kind of start watching guys because time is limited with the early period. So I kind of love it, though. I get re-energized. in a different way, getting to know high school kids. I get on the phone with a bunch of them, and you learn their stories before everybody else does. And that's the exciting part of our network, is taking people a little deeper than probably the majority of other networks around the country.
No question. You know, your handle on Twitter, at Yogi Roth, and you always hashtag how great is ball. And after we talked in October, I had somebody ask me, you know, we know Yogi's a crazy guy when it comes to football and he loves it, but what else gets your goat as far as sports? I mean, are you a big college hoops guy, NFL, MLB? When it's not football season, what has your attention?
Yeah, to me, it's really, it's been everything. Like, I still in my brain can remember box scores from the 76ers with Mike Cheminski and Johnny Dawkins.
The G-Man.
You know, way back in the day when Prism was a channel, you know. And I could remember, you know, I was a Phillies fan and an A's fan when Ricky Henderson was playing. You know, I can go back to the Niners. They were my team growing up, and watching Jerry Rice, and I patterned, like, my entire life after him and what I would read about him as a, you know, a guy who would work out or run the crazy hills with Roger Craig. So
right.
I think I'm just overall a sports fan, and now as I've gotten older, what I've fallen in love with is the humanity, and that's what I'm trying to do, is to seek and uncover that in sports around the world. So it could be football, it could be basketball. To me, it's really about how people perform on big stages and the type of humans they are underneath the helmet or behind the face mask or whatever it may be. So yeah, kind of a fan of all of it around performance.
Gotta love the Johnny Dawkins G-Man reference. So I was explaining to somebody that about the Pac-12 championship game we just saw. And, you know, obviously you talk with coaches and players, and I hear from a lot of people, and Utah physical, balanced. So beyond the result, with all the people you talk to and hear about, how surprised were you that Oregon, like, really took it to them and kind of dominated that game?
I was dramatically surprised. You know, I've covered every snap from both of these teams since last spring, let alone the last, you know, 8 years. And I just didn't see it happening that way. You know, I knew it would be physical, but after that first fourth down and the second one and the third one, right, three times in the first half Utah goes for on fourth down and they don't convert and turns into 13 points, you just said, whoa. And I talked to somebody who saw the Utah team going into the huddle, and they just described their body language, into the locker room at halftime, and it was just like shocked. And the lead was too much. They had a chance, but they had to be perfect in the second half, and obviously they weren't. So I was surprised by that. Not surprised that Oregon came out and played their best, in terms of they pride themselves on being a physical unit. And the whole week leading up to it, or literally you can argue the month leading up to it, once they clinched the North, was about how Utah's the most physical team in the conference. So I gotta imagine Mario Cristobal utilized that in one, if not every one of his team meetings, to his team, and you could tell they felt that message and delivered their own.
You know, talking about Cristobal as someone who played and coached, I mean, he took over before 2018, and he decided to alter the face of the program. You know, Oregon with the speed, the tempo, kind of a lot of flash and dash, and he himself said, more physical, more SEC style. How much more impressive is it that in just his second year, in kind of altering the face of the program, he's able to have this kind of success?
I think it's really impressive, you know, like, I get that Kyle Whittingham won Coach of the Year, and there's a lot of coaches that I thought in this conference are deserving, two of them from your state. But what Mario Cristobal did to reestablish the mindset and then watch it play out in the first game of the year against Auburn, and then as the year went on, to refocus this team after the ASU loss. I called the Oregon State game. They did not play well. They admitted that. But then to, you know, really come dialed in for the title game against NFL players, right? That whole defense, I think, is going to the league at some point or another. I mean, seven of them, I think, are going to the Senior Bowl, potentially, you know, barring the injury, obviously, to Julian Blackman and his health status. So I was impressed. And this is a team that, you know, better than anybody, they're known for their brand. And I think in the NFL, teams are known for their quarterback, and college teams are known for their head coach. Oregon's known for the swoosh. And that swoosh usually means high-flying, fast, up-tempo, and it doesn't anymore. It means explosive, it means physical, it means downhill, it means get your teeth bloodied. Like, it's everything that's Mario Cristobal, and I got to commend him, because he's totally shifted seamlessly one of the hottest brands around sexy things in football to one of the hottest brands around things now that may be considered sexy, which is being physical and coming downhill at you.
Talking with Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network, you know, as far as Utah goes, I mean, unlike Maryland and Nebraska, Syracuse, they didn't go from a Power 5 to a Power 5. They moved up to the Pac-12. And I know there's disappointment over this loss, but, you know, and I think it took them a couple years to find their major conference footing. But use the word again, how impressive is it that they won the South back-to-back? And, you know, you think of them now as a Pac-12 program under Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Totally agree with you there. The bummer is, though, if I'm just going to be honest, is that there was a window for them this year with a CFP opportunity. You know, they're going to lose so much, and they're always going to be an 8-10 win team. But, you know, it's so hard for everything to hit. And, you know, I thought they were the best overall team starting in spring ball in this conference, and they didn't show up in the title game, and Oregon proved to be the best team in the conference. And just in terms of the way they play. But yeah, you have to commend is the build. They didn't try to just get a bunch of JC players off the bat when they got in the conference. They built it consistently on defense. Offensively, they built it creatively. But you look at this year's team, and the most impactful players are guys that came out of high school. And that, to me, is impressive. You know, how many years do they have a JC running back? Or at quarterback, still just trying to figure it out, right? Troy Williams is a transfer. You know, I get Travis Wilson was a guy who came out of high school, but in terms of reaching the peak that they did with, you know, Zach Moss coming out of Florida and Tyler Huntley coming out of Florida and their offensive linemen, just the way they built it, I just think it's awesome. And I think AD should pay attention to that and say, you know what, yeah, we don't need to bounce guys if they have 8 or 9 wins, but we didn't win a conference. Like, there's a build to this thing. Even when you're not like the traditional blue blood program of the respective conference you're in.
You know, talking about coaches, if I talk to you on Labor Day and I said there's going to be one coaching change in the Pac-12 and it's going to be Chris Peterson is leaving Washington, I mean, what's the level of surprise there? Because, I mean, you know, we're here in the Northwest. That, to me, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was really surprised, like everybody. And then he's awesome, man. I had a chance to talk to him the day it happened. And he was just so graceful around why he did it and, you know, where he wants to go in life. And I just think that all too often, well, let's just talk about football. It's the smallest profession with the biggest egos. And a lot of the times that's with coaches. And Chris doesn't really have one, you know, and he gets that there's life beyond just recruiting. And, you know, you look at where Jonathan Smith and Mario are right now, like this is everything for them. Like this, they love every second of this thing. And Chris had done it. You know, he said in his press conference, he's been in and around this game for 40 years. Like, there comes a point where if the fun isn't fun and you're not, you know, seeking out or experiencing the joy, then don't put in the 17-hour days. And, you know, I counted up the weekends. College coaches get, like, 7 free weekends all year. Like, think about that. And 4 of them are in the month of July. So, you know, you got to recruit. You got to do something. And if you're not having fun, that's just not a great experience. And I commend him, and so many coaches have called him, or I've heard from a ton that are like, wow, I can't believe he had the guts to do it. I love that. And I just think that the burnout's a real thing in the profession, and people are finally talking about it.
Yeah, 17-hour days, got to be honest, not my cup of tea. You know, last night, getting back to the Ducks for a second, Penei Sewell, first sophomore offensive lineman, wins the Outland Trophy. You know, obviously, you coach quarterbacks, you're Elite 11. So if you were a quarterback, how well would you sleep at night knowing that guy had your blind side?
Yeah, well, he's exactly what you want. And you look at his athleticism, started coming out of high school. You knew it when he was a freshman. And then to continue to nuance his game, you know, if you watch him on tape, it's not like he was just dominating every snap. Like, he got beat at times in games. But he very rarely got beat by the same move. And he's still so green and so young. Think about what he's going to be like next year. Because you know Mario is not going to just say, hey, congrats, you're the best in the line of the country. We're not going to coach you. It's going to be the exact opposite. And I just think he's got a chance to be one of the greats, you know, and there's a lot that goes into that, but his skill set is brilliant. And you think about where he came from, the athletic family. He's got, obviously, one brother's at Utah. Another one is, you know, I think we'd assume is going to sign at Oregon here next week. it's pretty cool. You know, I'm really excited for him and for the program.
Couple final thoughts for Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network. You were here for the Civil War, got to see the Beavs up close and personal. I mean, 2 years ago, they were in disarray. They weren't even being competitive. Now, year two under Jonathan Smith, you know, there are a couple plays from being bowl eligible. What's the word on the kind of turnaround Coach Smith has engineered up there?
Amazing. I think it's probably the best way to describe it. I just finished breaking down their recruiting class this year. And I think, to be very general, year one, it was about building a culture. Year two, this year, was about setting an expectation. Like, we can go to a bowl game. Obviously, they didn't do that. You know, they lost some tight games. You referenced a couple of them. You look at their schedule. And I could even look at Oklahoma State, but easily Hawaii being one of them, Stanford being another one. I mean, they're in games that they could win. And then year three is about, let's roll. And I think that's where this program's at. And you look at and you break down the roster by position and then the ceiling of the players that are there and or the ones they recruited to potentially play ahead of the ones that are there. It's impressive. I mean, this is a team next year with the JC players they have. I think they have six JC players that are going to be in this class we would project on Wednesday of next week. And again, they get creative with it. You might see 2 6-3 corners next year playing in the Pac-12. For Oregon State, that's going to give anybody problems. You look at the receivers, they're going to upgrade there after losing Isaiah Hodgins. This offensive line is building for the future. They bring in some defensive linemen. They might have the best defensive lineman in this conference in Charles Moore, the transfer from Auburn. So the quote they have is to do common things in uncommon ways. I think that's exactly what they continue to do as they develop this program in recruiting.
One last thing, USC. A couple of tough non-conference losses. Then they lost at Seattle. We know what happened with Oregon. But they were in that South race till the final day. And then the new AD, Mike Bone, sticks with Clay Helton. But would it be accurate to say that he's kind of out of wiggle room? And if you and I are talking a year from now and they're going to the Red Box Bowl as a four-loss team, his job security is going to be at best up in the air. What's your read about Southern Cal?
I think a couple things. One is, you know, the new AD came in, as you referenced, Mike Bone, and you felt like he really had to evaluate the program versus, hey, he thought he was going to get this job the entire time since it opened up when Lynn Swann resigned. And he did that. And I was with this program. I emceed their end-of-the-season banquet, and I was with 700 people, and they were jacked about Clay, about the future. I walked out of there that night not knowing the future, of course, of Clay, but my gut said that I think they're going to keep him. And the reason is as follows. They're going to lose four players that played, really three when you look at it, because one was an old lineman. I'm not sure about some guys who are going to leave early. They'll have some decisions to make, but maybe they lose one, maybe two at the most. So you're bringing back 80% of your roster, and it's a talented roster. What they did in the new system, in the air raid, clearly was special with Keaton Slovis. And even whether it's he or J.C. Daniels, they'll compete in training camp and see what happens. You're in a good position. So I look at them now, and we talked about Utah, talked about this conference. I picked them today to win the Pac-12 South, and there's an argument that they could win the whole thing. That isn't dramatic, right? And to me, that's pending what does Jacob Eason do at Washington, because they might be a favorite there with him returning, even though they have a new head coach in Jimmy Lake, but same philosophy, same culture, just tweaked a little bit. So that's where I evaluate the team. And then I look at the reality. Since 1980, outside of the Pete Carroll era, there's only been 5 10-win seasons at SC. And Clay Helton's been a part of three of them. One is an interim head coach, two is the full-time head coach. So I think there's a check yourself on the reality of SC overall from their fan base. You know, the fan base, like every fan base, is over the top. And that's why we love college football. That's why I love going to games Saturday. But I look at them now and you read a statement, well, this is his record without Sam Darnold. We've also done it with two freshman quarterbacks. Like, I just think, like, if you're going to make one case, you got to show the other side of the coin and then make an evaluation. Penalty thing, clearly there's an issue there. They have to fix that. But then you have to talk about the youth on the team and five running backs playing and multiple players on the defensive side being banged up that are top players. So I just think the context of the situation, when you take the emotion out of it, and I've talked to whether it's some of the other top analysts around the country versus beat reporters, I think the analysts are like, hey, when I watch the tape, like, this is a really talented team though at 8-4. Why would you blow the whole thing up right now? Versus, let's just see what happens in another year and then go from there. So that's kind of where my head's at. Will he be on the hot seat next year? Yes. And that's kind of that job all the time,
right,
especially when you haven't been to a New Year's Six Bowl in a couple of years. So, yeah, that's the reality.
All right, folks, he's Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, loving life, living large. Yogi, always great catching up. You have a great holiday season. Enjoy the bowls, the playoffs. And, of course, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, man. You got it, brother.
All right, take it easy. Everybody's goal in life should be to love their job and attack it with the fervor of Yogi Roth. Awesome stuff. We'll take a break. Be back. More sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
It's very, very similar to that room. Guys are really committed. They bought in. And, you know, it starts up front, and the front guys really are receptive to us in the back end and the linebackers as well. Everybody just want to win once we get out there. And we communicate really well, and it allows us to play really fast. And we got a great defense, and our guys just bought in across the board.
That is former Seahawks safety, current Raven safety, Earl Thomas, comparing his current team, his current group, to those Seattle Super Bowl teams, and they're electrifying young quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Welcome back. Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Appreciate the time of our buddy Yogi Roth, always providing just A-plus insight with the passion with which this man attacks his job. It's awesome. Appreciate you guys hanging, getting rolling on a Friday, as you just heard in Nick's update. Terrell Suggs, T-Sizzle, cut by Arizona. 37-year-old rush ends. As a rule, that's pretty old for a rush end. Had been kind of hit or miss this year. I mean, even as recently as 2 years ago. I mean, this is a guy that played from 2003 on with Baltimore, you know, a critical member. Even though he had some injuries that year, got a Super Bowl ring in 2012. I mean, this is a guy who's been kind of a wrecking crew. You think back to one of his all-pro years. I mean, he, 1 year, had 7 forced fumbles. That's like one every other game. That's ridiculous. That's a guy who's just wreaking havoc. By the way, to go with his 14 sacks.
Calm down, man.
He's a good player. Well, I remember seeing him play here when he was with Arizona State. And by the way, he is an Arizona guy. He was the 10th overall pick. I think he's climbed top 12, 15 among sack leaders. I'd obviously have to I'd have to check that. Anyway, 284-8571 if you want in. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Ninth. Okay. The reason he's ninth is because he was 13th when the season started. The 4.5 bump him to 138 and ninth. So all the great Sackmasters are now retired. He was the active leader. I mean, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Kevin Green in the Hall of Fame, Chris Dolman, Strahan, Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame. DeMarcus Ware, not eligible yet. Richard Dent, top 10 in the Hall of Fame. And I would imagine these guys are ticketed.
Where is, and I guess, well, I now I'm realizing he won't be up there very high because he's missed a lot of time. J.J. Watt. Is he still up there? He was extremely dominant when he was healthy and playing, but he's missed like 3.5 seasons
now.
No,
the tragedy with him is the time missed, because he, in 8 years, got to 96 sacks. But like you said, it's really been like 6.5 years if you count the time he's missed. So he's 41st But, you know, he's still, hopefully, knock on wood, has a lot of years left. You know, for example, he's played 8 years and he's five ahead of Clay Matthews, who's played 10 years, but has also slowed down noticeably.
Linebacker, too.
Yeah, but he rushes the passer a lot. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ryan. Ryan, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Tanner? Hey, you going to the Rose Bowl?
I am not.
They're not sending you down there?
No.
that's bogus, man. Anyways, I hope Oregon wins, man. I'm a Florida fan. I'm from Florida. I live here now. I got some money on them. They won me some money in the Pac-12 championship game. I called y'all on the day of the Pac-12 game. I told you I thought Oregon is going to make easy work of Utah, and they did. The one thing I can't get, and this is just me, it doesn't matter because Oregon and Florida are both not in the playoffs, and they shouldn't be. I don't get how the playoffs work. I don't get how the Ducks jump my Gators in the final rankings. I don't understand. I don't understand how a couple other teams did as well, but it doesn't matter. Neither team's in the playoffs, so, you know. But we beat Auburn. Auburn beat y'all. Arizona State beat y'all. And Florida lost at LSU and to Georgia. You know, you would think that's a better resume, but I don't know.
All I would say, and I agree, first of all, A, the rankings don't matter. It wouldn't change anything. B,
yeah.
I think at the end of the year, they're given credit for winning a conference title for whatever that's worth.
Right on, baby. Have a good night.
All right. Take it easy, Ryan. Gators got better year two under Dan Mullen, for sure. And you know, they're playing in the Orange Bowl. It's not bad, off of a Peach Bowl berth last year. All right, 284. And by the way, to think that 2017, they were 4-7. Of course, Jim McElwain is geek. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Fred. Fred, what's up?
It's your lucky day. We had 12 guys, one dropped out. Got open space in the motorhome. 4 kegs of beer, 2 dogs. You want to go?
Where?
Rose Bowl.
Drive down there with you guys? I'm going to need something stronger than a keg.
I can make that happen.
One guy dropped out. Good one, Fred. I appreciate the invite.
Merry Christmas.
Take it easy. You like that one?
12 guys, 4 kegs, 2 dogs, and an RV. Let's go. I would do that road trip with Fred and his buddies. I think that would be a good time.
That's a John Madden line. Never mind that the horse is blind. Load up the car and let's get rolling. All right. Why did I bring up Terrell Suggs? Oh, yeah. That Nick announced during the update.
I'm sorry, who's
that? That he had been released. I wonder if a team who just is strictly looking for a guy to crash the pocket will pick him up. I would imagine this would probably be his last season, 37 years old. All right, one more call before our final break of the week. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, bring in Jersey Jack. Jack, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, buddy. I think you should take Fred up on his offer, man.
Maybe you should.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I guess you can understand now why the Yankees didn't re-sign Didi.
Yeah, I don't know how much difference that would have been, even if they kept him 1 or 2 years. But, no, if logic comes into play and you look at what that team absolutely needed, Cashman made the 100% right move. I mean, you can add not just your number one, but as big an ace as there is in the game right now, you got to take that chance.
Oh, definitely. And they re-signed Brett Gardner, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, he's got value. He knows that team. He's been a part of a lot of winners, $12.5 million. I know it sounds crazy, but that's not big a financial commitment.
Right. Well, it's only 1 year, and they need a center fielder because what's his name is going to be out for half the year. Is their starting center fielder?
Oh, I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, he had Tommy John's surgery.
Right. Oh, that's a good tidbit. That totally eluded me during the offseason. Aaron Hicks, right?
Aaron Hicks, correct.
Yeah. No, that's an important tidbit. And I think you're going to wind up seeing Torres as the shortstop, which actually is his natural position. And he just turned 23 today. I mean, he's the best player on the team that's not Gerrit Cole.
It frees up their infield to play in their normal positions.
No, to be a Yankee fan, this is a great winter so far. I'm stoked for next year, Jack.
Go Yankees, baby.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Before we break, I want to remind you, our friends at State Farm, Big Al State Farm on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. Well, check this out. For the holidays, in the spirit of giving, the good folk at Big Al State Farm want to make it easy for you to not only give to the ones you love, but to the community as well. You know, you can give the gift of life. Life insurance is a great gift for you, your family, lots of uses. And like you said, it never breaks and it doesn't go out of style. So for every person who contacts Big Al State Farm and gets a quote for life insurance this holiday season, they will donate 100 meals to Food for Lane County, help feed the family, help protect your family, help feed the community, I should say. So stop by. They're on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart. And see how valuable and inexpensive a gift of life insurance policy can be. They're located at 1195 Cal Young. That's Cal Young right next to the Dairy Mart. So give them a call, 686-1522. Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. All right, I want to take our final break, and when we return, I am going to kind of set the stage for a pretty big NFL weekend coming at you to get things wrapped up next. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everyone. Yo, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Cross Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light tweet of the day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. First things first, happy birthday to BFF of the show, Nick Cody.
Oh, really?
Friday the 13th birthday. I made a shout out to him earlier because I know he listens and he tweets and DMs us, answers to our questions, and then makes us look smarter. But he is out big time partying, doing his birthday, celebrating, so he's not listening to the show. Maybe he'll listen to the podcast if we tell him that there's a birthday shout out in. Happy birthday, Nick, to you. To our tweets, the birthday shout out is not the tweet of the day title. You're not taking that home. At that girl on deck, taking from a Reddit off-season thread, franchise power rankings by inverted team name, the Los Angeles Demons of Anaheim, the Tampa Bay Irwins, the Pittsburgh Admirals, the Chicago Black Hats, the Cleveland Cowboys, the Chicago Kodiaks, the Cincinnati Greens, the Oakland Z's, you get the point. Somebody went through and they took team logos and Photoshop them to look like these inverse logos. They're all phenomenal. The Kansas City Peasants, it's very good. On the logo, there's like a little brown bat. It's phenomenal. Apparently, so this is something I'm surprised we didn't get to today. Seinfeld in 1991 was doing an episode with some sort of fortune teller. The fortune teller correctly predicted the score of a Cleveland Cavs San Antonio Spurs game that happened last night.
Nice. Exact?
Exact prediction score. It's incredible. What else do we have here? I had a couple ideas for the tweet of the day. Where do we want to go with? Oh, a really good story from @LaMikeJames. He'll be our official runner-up. He tweeted, "Can't make this up. I'm at the Nike employee store, and a guy comes up to me and says, I saw you and is about to be like, my man, LaMichael. I bet you get that all the time. LaMike responds, yes, sir. The man says, "You ever say yes?" Mike says, "Sometimes." Mike finishes the tweet by saying, he then walks away and tells his wife, "I'm a lookalike." You see LaMike James, you're like, you can't be LaMike James. He wouldn't be. Too good. But our tweet of the day is from @BaseballBrit. I mentioned at the start of the spring, I started to follow Baseball Brit because he was a British man who came to America, gave up on his job, his home, his friends, his family, everything to travel around America and watch baseball for the summer. And it was an incredible journey. Not a lot of his tweets were tweet of the day worthy, but I would retweet them every now and then. But @BaseballBrit today wraps up his summer-long adventure by saying, "Today I leave the U.S. having spent my life savings. I have no job, no mortgage, no car, but the most wonderful memories that will last a lifetime. I have never been poor nor felt richer. Thank you for everything, America." And he tweeted out a selfie from a minor league baseball stadium, because if there's one thing he learned about baseball in America, is that the best baseball in America is at minor league stadiums. He was just talking about the barbecue, the people, the culture, the random things that would happen at these games. It was spectacular. I hope somebody...
It was real. And it was spectacular.
I hope somebody gives him a job so he's able to come back and enjoy baseball again. That would be fantastic. So thanks to @BaseballBrit, the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is @SportsTalk953. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @953thescore for the station. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
JDI.
Choose kindness.
How about them Jets? Did we see the best player in the league last night? Or best team? Or did they just play the Jets? The Jets are not the worst team in the league. But damn, Baltimore's legit. And I don't know that this defense is Ray Lewis, Rod Woodson, Chris McCallister, Peter Bulwer, think the 2000 team, or the "It's tough for me" Lewis, the 2012 group with Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata, Kerry Williams. But man, they can play. And if you're watching the game last night, so they added Marcus Peters in that trade, and they haven't lost. Their last loss was September 29th. And by the way, with the win, they got two games left. They play the Browns at Cleveland. No way they're losing that game. And the Steelers at home. And that two-week period going back earlier in the season at Kansas City, then home for Cleveland, they gave up 33 and 40 points. Then they won at Pittsburgh, eked one out, and gave up 23 points the next week. And the most points they've given up since last night, 21. And remember, it was 35-7 when the Jets scored a couple of fourth-quarter meaningless TDs.
Extremely meaningful to some.
Yeah, actually, of all the people, I should know how meaningful they were. Well, they see, you covered because you were playing on the sports lottery app. In the real world, they did not cover.
Oh, yeah. The real world line, it was 14 42, or 17. 21.
It was 16 and a half, 17.
So the live, because they fell behind, I think already they were down 14 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I was like, how high did this line jump to? Because I've seen the lines like the Falcons-Seahawks game when the Seattle led at halftime 24-0. I looked at the app and Atlanta was 24.5-point halftime underdogs. And I was like, I know the Falcons are bad, but Seattle's not going to like run away with this game. I'd end up not betting it, so I sound like I should have been smart. But sometimes the live odds, they just you see something and you're just like, that's too good to not go.
That's part of the joy. Yeah. You get a feel for a game in-game that you really can't pregame. Marlon Humphrey, by the way, their first rounder, 2017 from Alabama. Man, he's all that. And by the way, in that same draft, see the guy Chuck Clark last night, play safety? He was a sixth rounder, same draft. They got those two guys. He went to Vodick. And, of course, Earl Thomas is kind of the new Ed Reed, age 30, still a hell of a player. Maybe not the ball hawk. Reed was, but a hitter, and just a great, a Hall of Fame caliber safety. So this weekend, the Bears at Packers. Chicago's on its last legs. Not even the next team in line trying to catch Minnesota. That's the Rams off the demolition of the Seahawks. I'll tell you what, the Bears, after this one at Lambeau, they come back home for Kansas City, who's going to have everything to play for. Then at Minnesota, who will have everything to play for. The Sunday Nighter, by the way, who thought several weeks back that Bills at Steelers would be a big game? I mean, Buffalo's in the running for everything. They're just a game behind the Patriots. And to tell you how much the league and the TV people have thought about the Bills, it's their first time on Sunday Night Football in 12 years.
Is that a home game, or is that in Buffalo or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, which is one of the reasons they probably got the game. Josh Allen faces the Pittsburgh defense. So since the fifth game, they've cut 8 points a game off what they're giving up, from 24 to 16. The Bills can clinch a playoff spot with a win, which would be impressive. And for the record, Baltimore and KC have already won the division. The Pats can clinch a spot with a win. The Ravens can clinch a bye if KC or New England lose. So in the NFC, the Saints have won the South. No one else in that league, by the way, division, is even over 500. Green Bay can clinch the postseason with a win if the Rams lose. The Niners can also clinch a playoff spot with a home win against Atlanta. And in a game you will hear right here, a 95-3 The Score, if Seattle wins at Carolina and either L.A. or Minnesota lose, that would at least lock down a postseason berth for your Seattle Seahawks. And then we get Rams at Cowboys, Dallas and Philly tied atop the East, despite the fact they're 6-7 because the Giants tanked on Monday night to the Eagles. But the Pokes won the first meeting, and they play at Philly next week. So that's kind of where we stand in the National Football League. So we got that going for us, which is nice. As far as tomorrow, Tinnism. Remember, the Oregon men are on CBS at 9 in the morning at Chrysler to play Michigan, who currently is number 5. Another big opportunity. We'll have the pregame right here at 8:30. So, looking ahead to next week, it's going to be kind of the lull in college football leading up to bowl week. But a lot of NFL, a lot of hot stove, a lot of NBA college hoops. Looking forward to it. Have yourself a magnifico weekend. And we appreciate you listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.